Well, when our nation was young, we lived on farms and gave our children chores to do. Now that our nation has grown up, we live in cities and give our children allowances to spend. This leads one to ask, what can children with allowances learn to spend from learned from children with chores?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 751st edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Saint-Tropez who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, wherever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer, our own Miss Idaho, Nikki James, on the boards. Hello, Nikki.
Good morning.
Folks, I was one of the many who grew up with farm chores to do, and lots of them. Of course, I did not think it was a privileged time to have all that work to do. The notion of privilege did not come until later. I was reminded of this privilege by two recent experiences. The first was the occasion of giving my From Food to Freedom speech at a 4th of July gathering in Corso, California. The temperature that day was firecracker hot, and I was withering and wondering how I could possibly hold up long enough to speak. Oh, there were lots of cold sugar drinks to drink, but they did nothing for my withering, and I withered. Then out of the crowd, like a genie out of the bottle, stepped Audrey Cahout with a glass of ice-cold, fresh-from-the-cow whole milk. "Try this," she said. I did, and found it refreshing and invigorating, enough to hold me up through the long afternoon of heat. Thus, I was introduced to the Cahouts of K Ranch Creamery and their 14 children. The second experience was a farm dinner at Pie Ranch in Pescadero, California. These farm dinners are a relatively new phenomenon in which we city people are treated to a dinner at a farm of foods produced on or near that farm. At the Pie Ranch farm dinner, 100 or so of us sat down to a long table out in a picture-perfect farm field for a dinner of the farm's roast pig, fresh greens, and local ciders and wines. After dessert, we adjourned to the Pie Ranch barn, where we enjoyed an old-fashioned whoop-it-up-to-the-ceiling barn dance. Thus, I was introduced to the Pie Ranch family of Nancy Vale, Jared Lawson, and their two children. In getting to know both of these families, and in knowing what it takes to make farms work, I got to thinking about their children. And so I now ask, what can children with allowances to spend learn from children with chores to do? And who better to ask than the matriarchs of K Ranch, Creamery, and Pie Ranch? Let's start with Audrey Cahout. Audrey, are you there?
Yes.
Gotcha. Now, did I pronounce your last name right?
Yes.
Is it Cahout or Cahout?
It's Cahout.
Cahout. Okay, I can say Cahout. Gotcha. K Ranch Creamery. Tell us a little bit about what K Ranch Creamery is.
Well, we're a large family of...
I guess you're a large family. 16?
Yeah, 16. We have 13 children still at home. And we have a herd, cow herd share program where my boys milk. We raise pasture chickens. Actually, two of my daughters do the pasture chickens and pasture pens. And just raise as much food as we can through the garden and the milk with making butter and sour cream and ice cream every night. Pretty much all that entails with trying to live off the land the best you can.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to tell you, what you're doing to live off the land is pretty extraordinary, because I can still taste your milk, though it's been months since I actually drank some. And I still remember the incredible invigoration I got from drinking that fresh, whole, fresh-from-the-cow milk. Wow, that was truly an extraordinary experience. Also noticed that you're a member of the Weston A. Price Foundation?
Yes.
Good. We've got Sally Fallon Morrell joining us next week here to talk about soy and their lawsuit against the prison for forcing prisoners to eat soy. Hmm. So that should be an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
So, Audrey, I'd like you, if possible, to introduce your family.
Okay.
Can you go through them for me?
Sure. My husband is Steve, and my daughter that's still living home is 27. That's Renee. She's the one that does the cheese and the butter and the sour cream. She's also the main gardening queen. And then there's Rebecca that's 22. Stephen is 20. Sean is 18. Christy is 20.
Are you reading from a list?
No. Robin is 16. Roxanne is 15. Velsica is 14. Renita is 17. And Scott is 7. And you don't need to know my age. I'm Audrey.
Okay, Audrey. Thank you very much. And that is the Kohout family of K Ranch Creamery in Coarse Gold, California. Also with us today, we have Nancy Vale, Pie Ranch, Pescadero, California. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
Let's see. I got to do something here that... Oh, there. Try that. Okay. Now, Pie Ranch. Nancy, what's Pie Ranch?
We are an educational farm about a half hour north of Santa Cruz, and we're on two pie-shaped pieces of land, and we grow ingredients that go into pies. And we also teach high school students about where food comes from and food justice. And in addition, we have an apprenticeship program, and we're also working on regional advocacy, trying to create more opportunities for farmers to access land on the San Mateo Coast.
Uh-huh. And you brought your family to the studio with us today, so how about introducing them?
Sure.
Who's the young man here?
Can you introduce yourself, Lucas?
I'm Lucas.
Well, hello, Lucas. Welcome to the food chain. Happy to have you. How old are you, Lucas?
Six.
Good. And the young lady, what's your name?
Scott.
Got to get up close to the microphone. What's your name?
Rosa.
How old are you, Rosa?
Five.
Okay, good. Now, did you get along?
Yes.
You can't. Okay. Proper answer. Good enough. So, let's get into this. Chores. What kind of chores do you assign the kids, and where does the chore giving start? Let's start with you, Nancy. You have a 3-year-old. Or a 5-year-old here.
5-year-old, yeah, and Lucas is actually 7. He forgot.
Okay.
That's okay. Well, we're a little bit different than the dairy farmers we were just hearing from, because we're an educational farm. So it's a very public farm, and every month we have a work day and a barn dance. And so Lucas and Rosa, as a part of their farm chores, not only do they help with the chickens, getting the chickens in, especially the baby chickens have been escaping, so they help get the baby chickens in, and they help feed the pigs, and they harvest produce for dinner. But they also help with tours in the public and greeting the students. So they will help mostly orient the kids to the farm, right? Mm-hmm. Lucas, you like to take the kids around and show them the chickens and where the food is growing and the apple trees, and Rosa helps with that as well. And then occasionally they'll help Jared, my husband, who's not here today, they'll help with milking. He takes turns with the apprentices that we have with the milk chores, and when he's on his duty, Rosa has gone down and has helped him a little bit milk the goat, right, Rosa? Yeah.
You can't nod, Rosa. You have to say, yes, Mom. There you go. Well, a minute before I go to Audrey, how old were the kids when you started giving them work to do?
Is it for me or Nancy?
No, it's Nancy.
Oh, for me. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was Audrey. How old were they?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's hard to say because...
as soon as they were able to walk,
as soon as they were able to do things, they were always kind of strapped on our backs. So I used to work at the UCSC farm when Jared and I were getting Pie Ranch going, and Jared would have Rosa or Lucas on his back when the students would come, and so he'd be collecting eggs and working with the students on the farm, and the kids were right there with him or with me from when they were babies.
So it's not like you assign them chores to do, because it's what you do all the time, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, whenever they're with us and we're doing something on the farm or with the students, then they're doing that with us. So it's more, not so much you have to do this chore, it's more that they're coming along with us and doing it, and it's just kind of a natural part of the rhythm,
right.
I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Audrey, how about you? How old are the kids when you start assigning them things to do?
Pretty much like what Nancy did. I mean, they followed us around and learned this was just, to them, they don't
really
think
of it. It's like little chickens following Mama Chicken, right?
Yeah, they don't really think of it necessarily as a chore, but because there are so many of us and we do homeschool, it is part of their school, so they don't think of it as a chore so much as school.
Good, that's good. We're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask, are these chores mandatory? I mean, are they part of what it takes to survive? Or they are elective, things that you can or may not, at your whim, assign the kids? Right back. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host for this hour, and today we're talking about farm children and the chores that they are given to do. And we're wondering if children who do not have chores to do, but who are given allowances to spend, if they can learn anything from these children who are grounded in what it takes to survive. Right back.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back, folks. Mike Olson here. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Today we're talking about children. And the reason we're talking about children is that I got to thinking about how special it is to be raised on a farm and given chores to do. Not as make work or busy work, but as something that the farm needs to survive. And I guess I remember my first chore on a farm. I must have been six or so at the time, and my grandfather put me up on a tractor, and he said, I'll meet you at the other end of the field. Just steer the thing straight. And he put it into gear, and he got off and walked away. And there I was on a tractor that was driving to the other end of the field, and I was so scared I peed my pants. But I remember that, and I remember getting to the end of the field, and there was my grandpa. And I felt this incredible sense of accomplishment that I don't think ever left me. And I know that the children we have in the studio today and the children of the Cohout family, K-Ranch Creamery up in the Corso, California, are also feeling that sense of accomplishment because they're giving things to do. Not as make good, but as ways of getting by in the world. And so I guess I'd like to talk now about the nature of chores. And, you know, we city people tend to give our kids things to do just because there are things to do, like wash the dishes, kids, in the hopes that they will learn how to do a job. But farm kids are given things to do because the farm needs them done. Nancy?
Yeah, that's right. Well, at our farm, we have a production manager and we have apprentices. There's about five staff, so there's people who are working on the farm and are getting paid. But here, Lucas and Rosa are growing up on the farm with Jared and I, and there are times when something's happening where we need their help. Like, for example, the pigs got out. Remember that, you guys? Remember when the pigs got out and it was after hours? There's nobody around. It was just me. You guys had to help chase the pigs and get them back in the pen.
How'd you get them back in the pens, Lucas? What'd you do?
We ran and
did you chase them down?
Yeah.
Did you catch them?
We pushed them.
You pushed them back in the pens? Rosa, did you help with that one?
Yes.
Yes, you did, huh? Good. Well, and there it is. I guess that's what I'm saying, that it's something that had to be done, and you could, and you did it, and you remembered it, and you'll probably remember it all your life. Is that the way you find it, Audrey?
Yeah. Yeah. Really, like you were saying, is it mandatory? And for my kids, it is, but it's something that, like you were sharing a while ago, the sense of accomplishment is magnificent. I mean, we work hard. If we have to repair a fence, it seems like it's always in the middle of summer. And, of course, you were here in the middle of summer with the firecracker weather. And, yeah, it's not something that, oh, this is going to be fun. Let's go out and fix fence or butcher chickens. And but we know it needs to be done. We do it. We choose not to complain because it only makes it worse. And then when we're done, oh, the sense of accomplishment and the good feeling is there's nothing to compare. It's just wonderful.
Well, and I guess that's where I wanted to move next, with a whole sense of esteem. And it's something that education seems to be very focused on these days. We can teach our kids self-esteem, perhaps even start a university of self-esteem someplace. But it just doesn't seem to quite work that way. What we get the self-esteem out of is being able to overcome obstacles and figure out how to do it ourselves. Nancy?
Yeah, that's right. Definitely. And on a farm, there's just a constant... The learning curve is forever going up. You know, you're never quite there. You're just always learning.
What comes next?
Right.
Audrey?
Yeah, and you know, we really, really recognized that for a while. For about 6 years, we did foster care. And so we would have children come to our home that were from the city, never been on a farm or a ranch, and they just fit in. You're here. You live with us. You have jobs. And these kids' lives changed so dramatically by knowing that they were needed. Their self-esteem so changed because they knew we needed them. And so the social workers would say, these kids are not even the same children. And when they would end up going home, they kept begging, you know, can we get more kids to your house? Can we get more kids to your farm? Because they change when they're out helping and they know they're needed. And like you said, that sense of accomplishment of, I did this, I learned that, they need me. It's wonderful.
You know, back when I worked with NBC Television, I did a story on a guy named B.T. Collins, who was head of the California Conservation Corps. And he was appointed by Jerry Brown to take these juvenile delinquent kids. I don't think you call them that anymore, but that's what they were then. And these kids were one step away from jail.
Mm-hmm.
And what BT did was, it was the first person, I think, that ever enforced a sense of discipline in their lives. He had them get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, clean their facility, and study, and then go out and work in the fields. Mm-hmm. And so I followed BT Collins around California for a whole week, and wherever we went, the kids had smiles on their face. They almost worshipped this guy who made them work. But who? But in that work, who gave them a sense of accomplishment and above all, a feeling of being belonging.
Right.
And I guess that's the next point I'd like to bring up is when I first visited the Pie Ranch, Nancy and Jared were not there, but Lucas and Rosa were. And so I introduced myself to young Mr. Lucas here, and I said, I'd like you to give this business card to your dad. And he looked at me like, who are you? And I have to know who you are before I give you this. But in that, it was like he had become young Master Lucas, who, the boss of the farm, when his father and mother weren't there. And though there were other adults around, he had this sense that, wow, this young man really does belong here and has taken possession of it. And Can city children who are given allowances to spend, is it possible for them to have that sense of ownership?
Yes, I think so. It's something that we see, if they're given the opportunity.
Opportunity to do chores or to
exactly.
work.
Exactly, yeah. And they have to have a connection with a place and the people at mm-hmm. that place and then the work. And we see that with the high school students we work with because they come back every month. They come on a regular basis, sometimes for 3 or 4 years. And we see over time that they really start to connect with the farm and with the work, and they enjoy the work. You think that they're not going to enjoy the work, and they think they're not going to enjoy it, but they end up having a lot of fun doing it. And even though it's hard work, it's something that's real, and they have there's a result at the end, or making a meal together or baking pie together.
But can you manufacture that sense of ownership and belonging without work? Audrey?
I don't think so. I think they need to feel needed and connected, that they're a part of something, to feel an ownership to it. And unless they feel a part or a need, I don't really think they can. I mean, I don't think you have to live out in the farm or country. You know, even in the city, there's things that, people doing home businesses, mm-hmm. finding things to do, even planting and growing things in, planters, and canning things and dehydrating things. Yeah, so it doesn't necessarily have to be the farm life, but it has to have a sense of need, that I have a purpose, I have a need, they need me. Mm-hmm. And it just feels good to know that you did something and that you can harvest. I think the harvesting feels really good.
We'll pick that up when we come back. One of the, when I was mentioning the topic of the show with a friend, she said, and she's a very astute woman, she said, you can't give a kid something. If you give a kid something, it'll ruin them. Pick that up when we come back. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking about children with chores. And can children who do not have chores, what can they learn from children who have been given chores to do that are real chores, that are part of what it takes to get by in the world, as it is on the farm? What do you think? We're at 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Audrey Cohout, Nancy Vail, and the kids right back. Do stay tuned. Well, folks, when our nation was young, we lived on farms and gave our children chores to do. Now that our nation has grown up, we live in cities and give our children allowances to spend. This leads us to ask today, what can children with allowances to spend learn from children with chores to do? What do you think? We're at 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. And hey, we have John calling from, let's see if I can reach over here and grab this phone call, just for the heck of it. We have, there we go. John, did I get you?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Gotcha, go ahead. Welcome to the Food Chain.
Great show. I was raised on a dairy farm in Ohio. We had 8 children. I had 7 sisters. I was the only guy. And
so you had to do all the work, right?
Well, I had to do a lot of the field work and barn work, but my sisters all had to help. And our chores started when we were 6 years old. We had to go out and we had to feed all the young stock. Now, for me, I had to start feeding the silage and all the other stuff. And you made a comment earlier about driving the tractor. I remember when I was 9 years old, I always wanted to get on the tractor and drive it. My dad wouldn't let me until I got to, I couldn't even hardly reach the clutch pedal for a while. But when I was about 9 years old, I finally got on the tractor, and we were cutting hay with one of those side mowers. And I remember cutting a whole field of hay and just feeling absolutely incredible. Just an accomplishment on that. But my sisters were out there. They had to help with the milking. Everybody had to take turns going out and helping the milking. They had to clean the bulk tank. They had to do everything.
You should see the kids here. This is really extraordinary. We have Lucas and Rosa in the studio, and when you talked about milking, both of them had their hands going, and they were milking. It was really a fun thing to see. So you kids have been milking already? Lucas, have you been milking already?
Yes.
Ah. Did you milk the cow or the goat?
Goats.
The goats. Rosa, have you been milking yet?
Yes.
Yes? It's the cow or the goat?
Goat.
Okay, good.
So they started them young, huh, John?
Yeah, they did. And you know what's interesting is, you know, talked about the self-esteem. I mean, we never even used that word when we were kids, but...
Of course not. They just invented it, I think.
I know, but it's like it was. It's like Audrey was saying, you know, you had a sense of belonging. You knew that you were needed. I mean, it was mandatory that you work. And even though I didn't grow up, I'm not living on a farm now, actually. Well, where I am, I'm living in the country. But it was one of the things I instilled in my children is that if you want something, you have to work for it and pay for it. They had to pay for their cars. They had to pay car insurance. They went to college. They had at least part of it. And you know, they didn't always like that, but built a sense of accomplishment in what a value of a dollar was.
Now, that's something I wanted to ask. Do children always like chores, Nancy?
Do you guys like chores?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Are you
yes.
sure?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Do you like carrying the wood in?
Yes.
Yeah. I guess they like it.
I guess they like it. Audrey?
No.
No.
Okay. No.
Well, and that's part of life, isn't it? I mean, we don't always like having to go out and fix the fence when it's 110 degrees.
That's right.
Or where I grew up, where it was minus 40 degrees. It's just the way we do it. And that's the way of it. John, thank you so much for that call. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, good to have you aboard here. Let's see. And then I wanted to talk about responsibility, too. And I wonder how... And I have a story here, because when I was up at Core School on that hot 4th of July giving a presentation, there were a lot of people there. And one of them had too much beer to drink and became very belligerent and was going around just making himself a totally obnoxious drunk. And kind of out of the crowd, Audrey's two sons showed up. I mean, you could tell Audrey's boys because they had white hats on, cowboy hats, you know, just like the sheriff in the Western movie. And they showed up, and they didn't push this drunk around or anything. They just kind of surrounded him and smiled. And, you know... Predators always prey on weakness, and this predator suddenly was surrounded by strength. And the kids didn't have to say anything. They just smiled, and the belligerent drunk just figured, well, this isn't the place to be. I think I better just leave town here. And they did. And it was just as simple as that, that they took care of the situation. They assumed responsibility and took care of it. And Nancy, is that what the kids learn? Do they learn that? I mean, Mr. Lucas here really looked at me when I approached him with my business card, you know, and had that sense of responsibility. Is that something that comes with chores?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. With the chores, with the people that come through the farm, and there's a sense of, you know, they live in this place, it's their home, and they want to protect it and take care of it. When people or, you know, adults and kids are walking on the beds, Lucas and Rosa know to tell them, no, you need to walk in the furrows. No, don't go in that fence. The fence is electric. Be careful of the animals. Don't chase the animals. So they're really great at understanding the responsibility of what goes into caring for the land and the animals and letting other people know that might not have that familiarity with it.
Well, Audrey, what about the farm and the community and in seeing how your sons took charge of that situation there? Does that responsibility kind of that one learns in doing chores and taking care of the family farm, does that kind of extend itself out into the community?
Oh, yes, absolutely. When we go out, we like to go together as a family, and these poor boys are, I have four boys and 10 girls, and they're very protective, and we like to have fun. But you know what? There's a lot of weird things going on out there, and whenever we go anywhere, they feel like they need to be very protective over their sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
pretty
neat.
It's not only over the sisters, though, that I saw. It was over the community of that gathering that they were taking responsibility for as well. And this is something that I've always, I have come to regret losing
the small farm. Mm-hmm. Because the small farm, in the Jeffersonian sense, was what really held us all together.
Mm-hmm.
And that when you have a small farm and your neighbor down the road has a small farm, you start watching out for each other. And, you know, you become part of a community. And when predators see that strength, they don't hang around for very long.
Right.
But when everybody is fragmented into little tiny frightened units, that's when predation gets strong and we worry about it. And so can children that do not have chores to do or work to do or responsibilities, can they develop that sense of strength, Audrey?
I think they can. I think it just a lot depends on how they're raised, because we've only lived out here on the farm for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
So my boys have been taught to protect. They've been taught to be men. And where we live, there's not a lot of that taught. A lot of the boys are effeminate. So they feel like, sometimes they feel like they stand alone. And I don't know if it's necessarily the farm life or just learning to be tough and strong because of the farm life. I don't know, but they've always been taught that from the time they were little.
Right back. Do stay tuned. Hey, welcome back. Michael Olson here. This is The Food Chain. Today we're talking children, and specifically children who are raised with chores to do, as opposed to children who are given allowances to spend and then kind of turn loose. Go away, kid. I'm busy. Leave me alone. I'm here. Spend this money. Go to the amusement park or something. Well, the question is responsibility and how we raise children to have this sense of responsibility that one sees with children who have been given chores to do in a family enterprise, and in doing those chores, they become part of the family and they become part of the solution of what it takes to get by on a day-to-day basis. And it's a real sense of accomplishments because it's a real chore. It's not a made-up chore. And so the children become responsible and learn what responsibility is. And the question that I have on the table now for both Audrey Cahout of K Ranch Creamery in Corscoal, California, and Nancy Vale of Pie Ranch in Pescadero, California, is can children who live in the city without any real chores to do, can they develop that sense of responsibility and self-esteem that it takes to manage their world? Nancy, you're the one who, in working with Pie Ranch, you're the one who deals with these children that come out of the city, and probably a lot of them have never had their hands in the soil before.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's really the heart and reason why we started Pie Ranch, was to provide that opportunity for students from the city, from more urban environments, and even rural environments, but who are, you know, have grown up in this culture that's become divorced from the land and divorced from real work.
And divorced from each other.
To provide them with that connection to the land and working together and being in a loving atmosphere where they're helping each other and preparing food for each other and eating together, dancing together, celebrating together. To see if that could start to, like the question that you raise about responsibility, if we can start to see a change in their behavior and their self-esteem, which I think we have really seen that, but it takes that connection to place and to work, and many of them aren't getting that.
Audrey, you spoke about how in taking foster children and you could see this become manifest. How long does it take before a child can actually realize that he or she can be part of the world and can accomplish things and become responsible?
Well, it just depends on the child. We've had kids out here the first week, they thought they were going to die.
Yeah.
And then after that, then they realize, you know, no work, no food, you know, and it's all part of, we're all in this together. And probably within 2 weeks, they would start to see the light that, hey, this is good and it can be fun. Because like Nancy was saying, when we do it together, and we make it fun as we can. You know, if you can, we try to. So, yeah, it doesn't take long.
Okay, let's have a little fun here. Let's make you two teachers. Let's say people in the city are listening and wondering, what can we learn from these two women about how to raise our children? So let me ask you some questions. Should chores be mandatory or elective, Nancy?
I think it could kind of be a combination.
Okay.
Of, I mean, the way that Lucas and Rosa will do stuff alongside us, so it's not this, you have to do it. We're just, that's what we're doing right
do
now.
Do as I say and not as I do. They don't go for that, right?
We have to load pumpkins. So instead of saying, you have to go load the pumpkins, we're out there doing it together, and it's actually really fun, and they want to do it. And then there are times when it's, you know, we have to get the wood in because we need to make a fire. It's freezing. You need to help do this. And there's times when they're grumbling and they might not want to do it. But then we start doing it, and there's a rhythm that comes about. So it's kind of this combination of mandatory and then just the rhythm of this is what we're doing in the present moment, is this chore in front of us.
Okay. Audrey, mandatory or?
Well, I think it's mandatory because it teaches them self-discipline and self-control. It teaches them later on when they get out in the working world, this is life. This is the way it is. It's not a give me, give me, give me all the time. But we do offer options. Sometimes when we have our little family meetings, we'll get together and we'll say, these are the things that need to be done. And I'll let them pick which they want to do so they feel like they have a say.
Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Yeah.
So it's kind of both.
Right.
How can we teach our children self-esteem, Nancy?
I think, again, it's being a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. It's not just about getting something for ourselves, getting a toy and getting to play with that toy. It's being engaged in the farm. It gives them that opportunity to see, oh, here's this living system, here's this soil we have to take care of to grow this food that nourishes our bodies. Here are these people that are coming here that want to learn, and let's engage with them. And they start to see that we're affecting change on a larger level than just our little own needs and desires.
Same question for Audrey when we get back from this break. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. And we have 16 Cahouts and 4 of the Pie Ranch people. We got a whole bunch of people we're talking with today. Say hi.
Hi.
Go ahead, Lee. What's your name?
Lucas.
What's your name, young lady?
Hi, Rosa.
Okay, good. And also we had Audrey Cahout from the K Ranch Creamery with, there's 16 of them up there in Coors Gold. Is that right, Audrey?
That's right, yeah.
16 of them. My goodness sakes.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. And Nancy Vail of Pie Ranch and yours truly, Michael Olson. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to ask that big question of what we can learn from these mothers. Do stay tuned. Well, we have a few minutes left and so many things to cover here on the Food Chain Radio program, especially we're with two very interesting women that we have here with us today, Audrey Cahout of the K Ranch Creamery up there in Coors Gold, California. Family of 16, working the land and providing real food to real people. And also Nancy Vail, Pie Ranch, Pescadero, California, a teaching farm. Bring children in from the inner cities and give them the opportunity to discover what it's like to have a real chore to do. And not just a make-do chore, but a real chore, the kind of chore that it takes to keep the enterprise going and successful. And so we're ending up the program with a big question of what we can learn from these situations, what we city people can learn. Audrey, what can we teach our children about developing self-esteem? Can we do that? What can
we learn actually, from you? That word self-esteem, it's not my favorite word.
You're not going to buy into it, huh?
I don't buy into it. Actually, we teach our children to die to self, and it's to serve others.
To do what?
To die to yourself. And it's not all about you. The world doesn't rotate around
you. Did you say die
you.
To yourself?
Die to yourself.
Oh.
And be a servant. And they get much more joy out of focusing on other people than themselves. Maybe not in the very beginning, but after a while, there's so much more satisfaction in yourself, which probably does develop self-esteem, than focusing on building up their self-esteem, because it's not all about them. There's other people out there they need to be focusing on and not themselves. That's where we stand.
Well, I like that one, die to yourself. I'm going to carry that one around for a while. Next question, how can we help our children become responsible for their own actions, Audrey?
Well, we're really into consequences. And if there's no consequences, if they didn't go cover the chickens and 10 chickens die, they're going to be losing a lot of money. And because they're the ones that bought those chickens, and they see it. They have to learn responsibility to make things work and to make a profit and make money. I mean, you have to be responsible. You have to take care of your obligations.
Nancy?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right.
What do you teach these kids that come out of the city? How do you teach them responsibility?
That's a good question. Because the students are there usually just for the day, so sometimes it's hard to see a full cycle.
Mm-hmm.
But we have that opportunity because they come back every month and come back year after year. And so then there's that opportunity to see, oh, if I didn't plant these potatoes right, where there's a big gap in between when I come back and I see how they grew or they didn't grow, I see the results of my actions. And I think that's really important to instill in the students. And any action they take, there's something that comes of that. And you don't see that unless you're on a farm. It takes, you know, months to grow potatoes or corn and to see the full cycle.
Well, my final question was, how can we help our children believe they belong to our family? Audrey?
How can we help our children believe they belong to our family?
Yes, exactly.
Well,
we don't have time to answer that. Mm-hmm. You know that. We're out of time.
That's deep. That goes way back into just affirming to them the love you have for them, and that it's not by accident they're here. It's all part of God's plan, and He didn't make a mistake, and this is where He put them, and we love them.
Say goodbye, Audrey.
No, goodbye.
Say goodbye, Rosa.
Bye.
Say goodbye.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Nancy.
Goodbye, thanks.
Thank you all out there for tuning in to Food Chain.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.